Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
It's halftime at UD Arena. Our halftime program today is being brought to you by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the studios for halftime.
So I want to start with this that I found interesting. This was a quote that you gave apparently at Media Day in Washington, D.C., and I want you to elaborate on it. It was during one of the articles on the 810 website preview. You said the mentality and the attitude is a lot better than last year.
Mm-hmm.
Could you elaborate on that?
We have people who have a lot of experience. You know, nothing against last year, but you have people who now on our roster who've played in Elite Eight games, Sweet 16 games, in the NCAA tournament multiple times, conference championships multiple times. So there's some leadership there. You have some experience there. And they play minutes. You also have a talented team. You have some kids who transferred who didn't play, who are hungry. And then some young kids who've come in and are pretty talented and trying to figure out their way. And you have some returners who want to win this year. So, the way it's different is one thing I've learned going into year three is you can't teach experience and you can't teach leadership. That's something that, you know, Ricky Harris, her freshman year at Ohio State when I was there, was a leader, you know, and now she's a super senior and they're advantageous and it happens right off the bat. So I think that's where it sits a little bit differently is you have some kids who have experience in winning and it matters.
The breakdown, and we will talk about the individual players, are 5 transfers, 3 freshmen, and 7 returnees. That's a nice mix because I think a lot of teams, like first of all, your first opponent, Southeast Missouri State, I don't know how you're going to scout them. They have one player who was on their team last year, so that will be a challenge. But where I was going with this is so first of all, let's talk about a couple of the players, Ricky Harris and Nicole Stevens.
Yes.
I talked with them today. Recorded some halftime interviews.
Oh,
they're
you
all
did.
Yes,
look
they
you.
Were
you're
wonderful.
So, you're so well prepared.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I don't have to say much if you talk to Ricky.
No, that's true.
Nicole.
Here's what I was going to say. They're both coaches already. They talk like coaches and very unique. They are helping do the scouting.
Yeah.
How did that get happen?
Well, they both talked about coaching. Of course, I've known Ricky and Nicole for a long time. Recruited both of them out of high school. So this and Coach Ricky at Ohio State for 2 years, right? Probably the 2 lowest points for her. And then Nicole recruited her. She was just 100 pounds wet and too small for the Big Ten, but we had her on campus at Penn State, loved her. She's a Big Central kid. But I've known her. My husband trained her. So those were previous relationships that I had. And they both talked about coaching. I mean, Nicole's one of the smartest people I know. And Ricky has 2 degrees from Ohio State. So I don't know why they would want the gray hair that I have, but that's what they wanted. So a big part of what we talked about, especially bringing Colleen Day Henderson, is I wanted her to create a curriculum for them with my assistant coaches that they would have to do small little tasks that a coach would have to do, an assistant. So Scout was one of them. So they did a Rice State Scout. They had to present it. They had to go over how we were going to defend defensively. They went over the entire Scout in front of the team, which is really cool. And then we play West Virginia. They'll do a little bit as well. There's some drills I have them setting up. They sit with Kalisha and go over recruiting. They've helped with some recruits as far as like tours on campus, what it takes, what do you say to parents, things of that nature. So when they do become assistant coaches, it won't be their first go around. We had internship set up with Nicole Stevens next summer with the Washington Mystics, but their coaches and GM just got fired today.
Yes, the Tebows, Eric and Mike.
So I'm going to have to figure out something else. I got Misty Bass and Trajan Langdon up and Bickerstaff up with the Pistons. So she'll get a little bit of that next summer. Then I'm going to call Indiana to try to get her over there. So we're just trying to put them in spaces. Of course, we get Nicole for 2 years. where they don't have to go through what I went through with your first scout, and you're sweating, and your first presentation, and your first time talking to a recruit, isn't that?
How do you do a scout on a team that, first of all, and I'm talking Southeast Missouri, that has a first-year coach and had one player who was playing last year?
You don't, you know, I mean, Kalisha keeps saying, like, I don't know, you know, whatever, but for her, she'll have to go individually and do pull personnel from their previous places. If they're in high school, these kids post enough highlights that you'll get to see what they think they're good at least. And then she'll have to do the scout plays based on how he ran a system, or she, I don't even know who's there, ran their system previous to them coming to SEMO. So it's kind of a hodgepodge, and all of them are like that. Ours are going to be, like, people don't know who we're going to play, who we're going to start, what style of play, because now, you know, it looks a little different.
Dennis?
Well, so obviously with that, practice is going to be of the utmost importance right now. Listening to Ivy at your media day, she talked about some of these practices are getting even a little chippy.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, you know, kind of a microcosm of that?
Yeah. I mean, when you bring in, that level of competitive nature and Nicole and Ricky, first week at workouts, not practice, they'll be mad about a play we didn't call, or like Bryce didn't call, and they'll be like, hey, go watch so-and-so, because they're watching practice. There's a legal screen that Molly O'Riordan did, which caused us to lose that particular drill. And that's like the team versus the team, you know? And so it's like, you'll get that from them. We're a week in and Ricky takes a charge during a workout in June. And she looks at me and I'm like, don't ever do that again. She takes... You know,
sure.
But this is a kid who's guarding Caitlin Clark 5 months ago and guarded her every year, you know, so, and beat her, you know, so it's like that mentality you can't change. And she looked up at me. She was like, with this whole body, I just did that one for the team, but I got you in November. And they lifted her up off the ground, you know. So I think with those, that type of player, you do get chippiness. They'll talk trash to each other. You know, they go back and forth with Nani, or you're a trial. You did this, you do that. But the one thing about this team is when they transition, when the practice is over, they're sisters again.
Let's start talking about the individual players. So let's talk about Nicole. Obviously, I think a big thing about this year, first of all, you want to eliminate the turnovers. That was a dirty word last year.
Dirty.
Where does Nicole come into that play?
She cleans up the dirty. She's like flushable wipes, you know? The best toilet paper you ever had in your life. She eliminates a lot of that. We have a point guard. We have a kid that knows why things happen. She knows where to put people in positions. I've had to call out a lot of stuff and keep it very simple. Now we can run some different actions, because we have a real point guard. It takes a lot of pressure off of Ivy. Ivy's just finishing, catching, shooting threes, coming off pin downs and staggers and enjoying life, because she doesn't have to think about it. And then Ricky Harris for 5 years at Ohio State is 3-1 in assist to turnover ratio. A kid who had the ball in her hands, and now our post players are eating. Nani is scoring a point a minute play because they roll it in there and they throw it up to Eve, and they're having a lot of fun because they're just catch and finish players now, adding those two players. But with Nicole, super high basketball IQ, very bright kid. You know, before practice, she's helping Eleanor and Jada Johnson with their genetics classes and, you know, things of that nature. But tough competitor. Had a great turnout, you know, against Wright State in our exhibition game, our practice scrimmage. But she is a coach on the floor, very competitive, can score three levels. I don't think she was able to display what she could do. But is just a very smart kid and just gets it done for us from a point guard standpoint.
One follow-up, and then I'll get back to Dennis. You mentioned in the article the week of the wolf. Apparently you want Ivy to be a little more vocal. Can you elaborate on that?
I tell Ivy every week that her mom calls me and pays me money to get her to play defense and to talk. So I just think Ivy doesn't give herself credit, and we talk about it, so it's nothing that she was surprised about. But she doesn't give herself credit for the admiration that her teammates have for her, the leadership that she brings by example. But there comes a point where example has to be verbal. And for her, she keeps her mouth closed on a lot of things. And this year, I did a whole week. I had it on the practice plan and said, "Week of the Wolf," end quote. And I explained to her teammates every time out or whenever I feel like it, we're gladiator. We're either going there, we're going there. And, you know, this is the one thing Nicole never gave her this. She was like, and they get on her about it because you play too much and you mean too much to this team to be quiet. You have to be more verbal, and you're the person off the court that's taking them to the lake house and dropping the freshmen off when it's cold, and you're doing all these things, but you never want to say anything. So now I have Ricky and Nicole who hold her to that part. And that was the week of the wolf. So every time they call, but And Nicole would be like, you know, like David Carroll.
So
right?
We should sit at the press box or the, our table, and yeah. We should start doing this stuff.
Right?
She'll know what that
means. When she airballs a heart, like, you got to go up and down like that, make it real bad. But she knows what it means. But now she takes it. She takes accountability for it. She means a lot to this program.
Well, so we're obviously getting ready to talk about some of these newcomers. Five transfers, three freshmen. When you're recruiting, mm-hmm. do you weigh the players differently? Because, I mean, obviously you get experience versus mm-hmm. the extra years. I'm curious kind of how that goes.
It changes. Now a lot's changed since these kids have come on board in college sports, especially on the basketball side. But, yes, I mean, the one thing I wanted to get, of course, are kids who pass to our team and not the other team. And I think Ricky and Nicole fulfill that. Then you got some surprises because we all brought in three other kids who didn't play a lot of minutes. So now you got to go, and two of the three were Canadian, right? So now you got to go to Canada and find out how they were in high school. You got to talk to the coaches about them and who they were and whatever. And I had Lindsay Whalen, who was my last point guard in Connecticut, and I got to call her because that's who recruited her to Minnesota. And I've talked to Aaron Horn, who's on staff there, about who a jockey is and her potential. The kid is only playing 3 years. Remember I told you that she's going on year four when you watch her play. She got involved because of COVID. She's a soccer kid, right? When you see her, you're not going to believe it because she's taller than I am. COVID happens. They shut down all the soccer fields in Saskatchewan. And she said, I'm going to start watching basketball. She watched two players that resemble her from a physique standpoint. Breonna Stewart, Kevin Durant. Watch them. Emulate them. Watch them, and she just went out to the courts, and that's how she learned the game. She's really good. So that's what we looked at, is just building those relationships and talking to people and what kind of the culture kid. That was huge for me going into year three, what kind of kid they were. So that's kind of what we look for. We want talented kids. We needed someone who could harass people defensively. That would be Shantavia Dawkins. She's a dog, you know, just charges, block shots. She's long arm. She plays at a high motor, picks up. We needed that type of kid. And she can pass, which is really good. Both of them can. So that's kind of what we look for. And it happens in 45 days.
And also you look at the level of competition. Dawkins playing at Iowa State.
Yep.
That's got to be important.
Iowa State, and then you have a jock who played in Minnesota. And then Jada Johnson, funny story, we're about to play Rhode Island. And I talked to her dad. Her dad dated my sister in college. When I was in college, he dated my older sister. Then he has an AU program and high school program. So we always talk. And at that point, Jada was going into the portal. And so that was another relationship that we had previously. Well, my older sister, thank God, she dated her dad and from Boston College, and she didn't play. So she's actually a freshman. She had tore ACL her senior year coming in. So we had a Boston College kid, Minnesota kid, and then a kid from Iowa State, and they wanted to keep her at Iowa State. So, you know, I hear things from the coaches there like, hey, she's one of the only kids that are transferring in the last 2 years that we still allowed to use our facility. Right there, that tells me culture. Right. She's because Finley's been in it forever, you know, as long as I've been born. Right. So, you know, we still like her around. There's times we think about even still allowing her to meet with our recruits. A kid is leaving. You want to keep them away. Right. So so that took care of the character, and it took care of who she is as a person. Now, can she play? Well, if you know Iowa State, they got a really big kid that's an All-American, and he's never had that. He usually has big kids that can shoot it, flare, shoot the three. They can space the floor. That's what Iowa State has done for 30, almost 40 years. But so he utilized kids like Shantavia. Well, they get this big kid who's filling up the paint, and you know, she's averaging 20 plus points, and so who wouldn't want her? And now you don't have any space for a kid that likes to get downhill. So it wasn't that. It's just he landed this kid that he's never coached. He had to change the way he coached, and he said, but she's a great kid. So that's how we kind of got those three kids.
The Halftime Program was brought to you today by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the arena for the second half of today's contest.